Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Research at the National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett, and just a special welcome to the callers and chatters to the show. This show will provide individuals interested in genealogy and history an opportunity to listen, learn, and take action. Now, if you have logged in as a guest and you wish to participate in the chat, please sign in through your Facebook account or Blog Talk Radio. Well, tonight's show is about discovering the connection to William Neal, and you'll learn more about who William Neal is. And my special guest is Marcellus Joyner. Marcellus is the supervisor of the Heritage Research Center at High Point Public Library and the archivist for the High Point Museum in High Point, North Carolina. He has a BA in history from North Carolina A&T State University and a Master's of Library Science from North Carolina Central University. Marcellus will discuss his research on his Neal family's past, as well as discuss how his career played a large part in his family research findings. In addition, this discussion will focus on how Marcellus linked his family to William Neal, the slave owner of Greene County, Georgia. Now, this fascinating story and research will explore how he discovered that his third great-grandmother was owned by William Neal and that they had seven children together. I'm not going to tell you any more about this because I want my special guest to tell you everything that he has to share tonight. So let me give a warm welcome to Marcellus Joyner to research at the National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. Welcome.
Hello, Marcellus. How are you? Can you hear me?
Huh? Oh, yes, hello? I can hear you quite well. Can you
right.
hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Marcellus. Well, Marcellus, why don't you tell us a little bit more about your work at the High Point Library and the High Point Museum?
Okay. Well, I began working for the Heritage Research Center at the High Point Public Library and High Point and the High Point Historical Museum in the fall of 2013. I was hired to be the supervising librarian for the Heritage Research Center for the High Point Public Library, as well as the archivist for the museum. My area of focus is to coordinate and collaborate efforts between the Heritage Research Center and the museum staff to create and implement digitization initiatives to facilitate online access to local history and genealogical materials in both collections. On a daily basis, the Heritage Research Center's focus is on genealogy and local history. To understand exactly what it took to assist patrons with genealogy research, my staff and I both agreed that it would be a benefit to myself to begin research on my own family. This excited me because it was always something that I wanted to do, but I had no idea where to get started. Would you want me to elaborate more on the digital initiatives before we go further into genealogy story?
Yes, because you mentioned to implement the digitization initiatives. And so what are some of the digitization initiatives?
Well, we embarked on a collaboration with UNC Chapel Hill to digitize resources from the area of High Point. UNC's digitization unit, which is called Digital NC, collects resources from different counties all throughout North Carolina. These can consist of yearbooks, directories, memorabilia from high schools and clubs, just kind of a cornucopia of information, historical information that people may want to look at. When I was hired, I thought that it would be an excellent way to get High Point's material out there for the world to see. Digitization has made it easier for people to access information without having to leave and come do research in areas or in other states that they can't easily get to. I would say that researchers today don't know the pain of having to do research that people were doing back in the 70s and 80s, not only in genealogical research, but historical research itself. Did I answer your question?
Oh, yes, you did. You definitely. And you're right. So many people don't know the pain. I mean, when we didn't have those records digitized, everyone was your car to drive somewhere, or you had to get someone else to do that research for you. So digitization has definitely made it much easier for people to do some research at home. So
Right. Thank
you very much for making that process much easier for everyone. And it's particularly interesting to note that this is part of your role at the High Point Library. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Oh, yes.
So,
you're welcome.
So why don't you take us through your journey of discovering your connection to William Neal?
Okay. Well, I decided to start researching my grandmother, Eva Mae Neal Joyner. She was born in 1925, and she passed in 1964. She was my first choice because she was the grandparent that I knew the least amount about. She died at an early age, at the age of 38 to be exact, when my father was still in high school. So I never had an opportunity to meet her, didn't have that relationship with her. As a matter of fact, I've never even seen a picture of her. When my grandfather passed in 2009, we were hoping that maybe he had one, tucked away somewhere in his things. But unfortunately, it never turned up a surface. So I've never actually seen, don't know what she looks like.
Oh, wow.
So I felt that this would give me some sort of way of getting to know her, just kind of connecting or making that connection in some type of way.
Sure.
So I started my research with some key information that my father had given me about my grandmother, her date of birth, when she died, and where. My first discovery was actually on Ancestry.com, where I found her death certificate. I was excited about it, but it really didn't yield the information that I didn't already know. You know, so it was kind of like, it was just confirming what my, you know, what the information that my father had given me about her. So I began.
Did I lose you? Okay, go
no,
ahead.
No. I paused for a second. Sorry about that. So I began searching for my grandmother and her parents in the census records.
Okay.
I eventually found her family in the 1930s census living in Lee County, South Carolina. My grandmother, Eva, was the eldest of three children. There was Eva Mae Neal, Grover Giles Neal, and my great aunt, Aunt Daisy, who is the only one still alive from that particular part of my family. My father often tells me that if you ever want to know what your grandmother looks like, just go take a look at your Aunt Daisy, because they looked very, very similar. And you know, that does give me some comfort, but you know, I still have that longing to know who she was, you know.
Yes, sure.
So at the time, at this time in 1930, she was approximately 5 years old. So I had to begin searching for her parents in the 1920 census. At this point, I had to begin doing research in Georgia, the Georgia area, but I wasn't sure exactly in what part of Georgia to look, because you know, I don't know if this is a common thing amongst just African Americans or just older, or just ways of the past, where people really don't talk too much about, you know, where they're from, or they don't tell their children as many things as you think they should. I don't know if I'm being clear. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I am understanding what you're saying, that some people don't share as much information. And so because of that, you just had to deal with just how to find out exactly where they're from.
Right. So even my Aunt Daisy, who was the youngest out of the three, she told me that she just really didn't know that much, because by the time she was born, they were far removed from Georgia. So I had to begin looking for their death certificates for my great grandmother and great grandfather.
Okay, so let me just stop you for a minute there. So you started off with the knowledge based upon what your father gave you about when his mother was born and when she died. And
yes.
So you were able to go into, you say, Ancestry, and you found a death certificate for her.
Yes. We have a couple of resources at the Heritage Research Center. Our two main sources to go to, or what we usually start our patrons out on, is Ancestry.com, the library edition, which yields a lot of information for people. I advise anybody who may be listening that if they haven't started their family research, always check with your local library to see if they have the library version of Ancestry.com, because you'll be able to access a lot of information. We also usually point our patrons in the direction of Family Search as well. So when I started out on my genealogical journey, those were the two main databases that I used to look for information, as well as some of the resources, the book resources that we have in our room that focus in on South Carolina and Georgia.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so continue on. Yes.
Okay. Once I pinned down where Grover Giles Neal, who is my great-grandfather, was from, it was pretty easy to locate him living with his parents in the 1910 and 1900 census. Grover Giles Neal's parents were John Neal, who was born in 1859 and passed in 1923, and Adeline Thompson Neal, who was born in 1860 and passed in 1936. John Neal was one of seven children. And at this time, the earliest record I could find for John and Adeline was in the 1880 census. I kind of paused in my research at that time because I couldn't identify John's parents. And I think it may have been a couple of months of just kind of searching different resources, looking at different resources, and running up against walls, running up against walls. It got very frustrating. But I was eventually able to locate John Neal's Greene County, Georgia death certificate, which listed Zilphie Ann Neal, born 1832, circa 1890 was her death. I say circa 1890 because I have run into other people who have been also doing research on the Neal family, not quite sure if they're related or not yet, but some have Zilphie Ann Neal passing in 1890, and others have no record of her. So it's kind of a mystery, but I took it upon myself to call the Oglethorpe Register of Deeds in Georgia, and they did a search for me and said they couldn't find anything on her passing away there. So that in itself is still a mystery of why people think she may have passed in Oglethorpe, Georgia, in 1890. But I've kind of gotten a little bit off track, so let me pull myself back in.
Right, and let me just pull you back in for a second, just so that people could understand. You spoke of Glover Neal and Zilphie Ann Neal, and tell us once again who these two individuals are.
Okay. Grover Giles Neal is my great-grandfather. He is the father of Eva Mae Neal Joyner, my grandmother.
Your grandmother, okay.
Yes. Grover Giles Neal's father is John Neal, and his mother is Adeline Neal. Those are my great-great-grandparents.
Okay.
Zilphie Ann Neal is my third great-grandmother.
Okay.
All right. There was no father listed on John's death certificate, so you know that gave me pause. Kind of got my mind reeling about why or why not the father may have not been listed. And you know, at first I was thinking because he was born in 1859, just outside of the end of slavery, it could have been possible that he was fathered by another slave, and that other slave either died or maybe was sold off. You know, just a myriad of things ran through my mind about why the father may have not been listed. But one thing that I did discover by finding John's death certificate is that he was living beside his mother in the 1880 census and living in home with her in the 1870 census. So the death certificate, finding John Neal's death certificate, and then using the census to compare where he was at that time, it helped me solidify some evidence. Zilphie John's mother, her name was very very skewed in the 1870 and 1880 census. So I learned by doing my own research and helping other people do theirs that misspellings and variations of names you really have to get used to. You kind of almost have to put your blinders on and pay more so attention to how the evidence works. If this person is associated with two other people that you are sure that you have the right information on, then you know the evidence points to this person being associated with them.
Okay, right. And so when you mentioned, you know, kind of Zilphy, and it was it difficult for you just because of the spelling of her name? You saw it spelled in various ways. What was it about Zilphy that made it a little difficult for you?
Well, it wasn't necessarily difficult. It was kind of just, like I said, just kind of yielding myself to what the evidence pointed to. You know, there are very, very few people whose names began with Z back then and even today. So, you know, Zilphy Ann Neal being named on John's death certificate versus the 1880 and 1870 census where her name is written as Zishan, Z-I-T-I-A-N. You know, I kind of had to come to the realization that proximity yields a lot of evidence when it comes to genealogy work. So that's how I pinned down that she was his mother.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more.
Okay. I had my family traced to the African American genealogical brick wall, the 1870 census. Now I was trying to figure out how to break through that. So I began searching for slave owners with like surnames in the same county. I found.
Wait, and when you say the same county, tell everyone what county are you speaking of?
Greene County, Georgia.
Okay.
Greene County, Georgia. And this search went on for a while. Just going through the different pages of the census and looking for Neals and just kind of narrowing it down. And sure enough, in the 1850 census, I found a William Neal. So William Neal, who was born in 1818 and passed about 1888, had a sizable plantation in Greene County, Georgia, in the Greene County, Georgia area. In the 1860 slave schedule, he had approximately 20 slaves. So here was a slave owner with a decent amount of slaves working his land in the Greene County, Georgia area at this time. So he was definitely a key person or a person of interest for me to look at.
Mm-hmm.
I began just kind of connecting dots and fact checking myself, and the key identifying factor of connecting my family to the slave master was that they were identified as mulatto in the 1860 and 1850 slave schedules. Only four out of the 20 slaves were identified as mulattoes. So at this time, Zilphy in the 1860 slave schedule would have been approximately 29. John would have been around 2 years old, and he had two sisters, Betsy and Elizabeth. And sure enough, when I looked at the slave schedule, the numbers and the and the physical descriptions matched up. You really don't have much else to go on when you're comparing those slave schedules versus the 1870 census. You pretty much have to go off of physical description, proximity as far as where that person was living in the 1870 census versus the 1860 slave schedule, as well as the 1860 census where the slave master lived. So through deductive reasoning, I began to narrow the all the other possible plantation owners down, and William Neal became my focus at that point.
And was William Neal the only Neal in Greene County, Georgia?
At that time, yes. At that time, his father, whose name was Older Neal, stayed about two or three counties away, and there was actually William Neal that stayed a county over, and I apologize, I can't remember the name of the county, but there was another William Neal that stayed maybe three or four counties away, and at first when I was going through the census, I mixed them up at first, but had to go back and look through my research again and compare, and I found out that there was another William Neal in Georgia at that time, but he was not in Greene County.
Okay, and he wasn't connected to the William Neal that you're speaking of?
No, ma'am. For the research I've done so far, he is not connected to him.
Right. Now, we're going to hold off finding out what else you discovered and take a quick break and come right back, okay? Just a real quick break.
All right.
Okay, we've just lost our guest, and so while I'm working to get the guest back on the show, I'm going to just tell you all about a book. Have you all heard about Our Ancestors, Our Stories? Well, this is a book written by the Memory Keepers, and it's a book that I have been a part of. And so for those of you who have not heard about this book, please check out my website and the website of the Memory Keepers called thememorykeepers.net. So I am going to put you all on hold for a minute because the guest has dropped off the line, and I'm hoping that I will be able to get him back on. So everyone, if you can just hold on for a second, I will call the guest, okay? Everyone, just hold on.
Log Talk Radio.
Okay, do we have you back online?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry about that, everyone. We lost Marcellus for a minute, but I'd like to welcome you back to the show so that we can continue the story. And everyone, thank you so much for hanging on. Okay, so let's continue to talk about what else have you discovered. And just to recap what has gone on, everybody, we have heard about the journey that began when Marcellus decided, and some of his colleagues also decided, that they would do research on their own family. And so he decided to research his grandmother, of whom he never met. He traced his grandmother's ancestry all the way back to Greene County, Georgia. And he discovered a William Neal. So why don't you take us from your William Neal discovery, and let's hear more about your story.
Okay. Well, I think where we left off was with me matching the physical descriptions of my family in the 1870 census and comparing it to the slave schedule in which William Neal's slaves were listed. And the reason why I was so confident that this was that I had found them was that my family was listed as mulatto in the 1870 census. When we look at the 1860 slave schedule, all of his other slaves are listed as black. So there were only four. There were only four mulatto slaves that he owned at that time. And if from the 1870 census going back, there would have only been four people in Zilphy's household at that time. So that's why I felt very strongly that was them. So
strongly it was them because of the mulatto slaves that were also listed, or because of another reason?
Well, that gave me confidence, but it was not definitive proof.
Okay.
So I began trying to find more information on William, for a couple of months there was very little success, but eventually I went on, I believe it was Family Search, at some point in 2014, Family Search began releasing some will and estate papers as mm-hmm. part of some of their collections. So I took a look at what they had on Greene County, Georgia, and tried to see if I could find anything on William Neal. And sure enough, there was a will and some estate papers. One of the key pieces of evidence that I found that kind of sealed the deal for me that Zilphy was definitely associated with the Neal plantation is that there was a receipt or a pay slip, I guess you can call it one or the other, where Zilphy was paid for services rendered at a dinner party. So she was a cook, and she was listed as a cook as well, as for her occupation as a domestic and a cook in the 1870 and 1880 census, I believe. And one other key thing was that her name was actually spelled Zilphy on the receipt versus what was written in the the misspelling of her name that was in the 1870 and 1880 census. So that sealed the deal for me that was definitely them, and they were tied to his plantation.
Wow, how exciting. How did you feel when you discovered that Zilphy's name was actually in his will and estate papers?
I was ecstatic. You know, I come from I guess I'm just old enough to have come from the generation of actually seeing Roots when it originally aired on TV back in the 70s. So seeing Roots probably planted the seed of being a historian and working with historical documents and facts a long time ago, and probably has always fed my desire to learn where my family comes from.
Well, I think a lot of people feel that Roots stimulated them to begin that whole research process. And so you've taken it to a level where you have now, as you said, you were looking for that evidence, and you had a hunch that it was William Neal, but now you actually find Zilphy's name on a receipt in his papers.
Yes. So this led to some questions for me. Was Zilphy Neal's William Neal's half mulatto sister? You know, that could have been that was a question that came in my mind, because she was already listed as mulatto. So as the mother of all these children, and by her being associated with the family, but not having other materials to say whether she is or isn't, you know, you kind of have to wonder whether she was a product of the family, because her and William were, you know, approximately around the same age, so it's very possible that they could have been half brother, half sister. And if she wasn't related to him, where did she come from if she wasn't related to the Neals biologically?
Mm-hmm.
Also, who was the father of her children? So, you know, these were things that were running through my mind, and, you know, I was kind of, I guess I could say, on a genealogical high at that time, you know, just kind of all smiles, just being able to trace my family back that far and actually connect them to a slave master, because I feel like if you can connect your family to a slave master or around that time, the more you learn about the slave master, the more it's possible that you can learn exactly where your family may have come from prior to being on that plantation. So, I was ecstatic. So I did a lot of searching on different databases through Ancestry.com and both Family Search, and found many different family trees dedicated to the Neal slave owning family. Some of these trees showed the family line connecting William Neal to Zilphy. And actually had William listed as the father of her children. Other trees conveniently kind of stopped at William Neal. That kind of makes you wonder if the ones who didn't list her kind of knew that he was the father, and are maybe not listing them. So it brought about a lot of questions. One thing that was for certain, regardless of what anyone's tree has said, William Neal was never married. So that really began to kind of get my mind whirling. You know, here's a man has a plantation, is booming, is, you know, he's bringing in money. You know, he's a catch for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And just no record of him ever getting married at all. But what was interesting was that my third great grandmother Zilphy never married either. So you know, this got me to wondering. So I began leaving messages on different trees on both on Ancestry.com to see if anyone had knowledge of the union. One tree did turn out to be indeed fruitful. I'm not going to mention the gentleman's name because I haven't been able to contact him since we first touched base, but he actually sent me an email saying that this was a known fact that William Neal did father children with one of his slave mistresses, and that was pretty much the gist of the information he gave me. He didn't go into a lot of detail, so he made me believe that this is something that just is kind of known amongst people in that county. Now, that's me speculating whether, you know, people in that, in Greene County, Georgia, actually know this story, or whether he's speaking more so to other researchers who have concurred that he is the father of Zilphy Neal's children.
Well, this certainly opens the door for you to conduct additional research as well as DNA testing.
Yes,
perhaps you may find a link to the Neal family if they have also tested.
Well, it's definitely opened my eyes to it. I have not been able to, I've actually started DNA testing on my mother's side because she kind of has a pressing mystery that we need to solve. So my father's DNA test will be coming, forthcoming in the next couple of months. I'm going to, make sure I order it and get him tested because I would really like to see if there are some Neals who have done DNA testing and see if there's any connections. It's a very exciting thing to be able to connect with family you never knew you had. Even if they don't necessarily want to be connected to you, a little bit of interpretation, but you just never know. I say for anybody who's doing this type of research, turn the stones over. Because if you really want to find out what's there, sometimes you turn the stone over and it yields gold. Sometimes you turn it over and it yields coal. But I say no matter what, just turn them over so you can try to find out as much as you can.
Right. And it sounds like with the strategy that all of you all chose to pursue, the staff, in searching your ancestry, that you did yield some information that you didn't have on your grandmother's origin.
Right. It's been amazing, and I actually feel like I have connected with her in some way, and it's been an amazing journey. Just a very amazing journey.
Well, it is an amazing journey, and it's inspiring also because you didn't stop. You continued to look and you continued to utilize the various resources. And one of the resources you mentioned was that you put out a query. You just started asking the questions, and you did get someone to at least respond to you, even if they haven't communicated with you since that time, by simply telling you that it was a known fact in Greene County that William Neal kept a slave mistress and that he fathered the children with them. That sounds like something that hopefully you'll yield additional information when you do the DNA testing.
Yes, I've actually found. Well, I've you know, a lot of people, when they do their genealogical research, they get started on the straight line back, you know, grandparent to grandparent to grandparent. But I've also expanded and done more of a more expansive tree, and done some research on where some of the children that were those seven children that both Zilphy and William had, and there's still quite a few Neils living in that area. And as recently as the past week or two, I met a gentleman online through Facebook. I was doing some research on the church that where my family is buried, which is Spring Creek Church in Greene County, Georgia, where a lot of the Neils are buried. And I think his last name is Brown. I'm not going to mention his first name because I didn't get permission to mention his whole name on air. But I will say that his last name is Brown, and Brown is a surname of some of the of those children that were of descent. So we kind of, the light bulb kind of went off with both of us thinking that we may be some kin to each other. But we spoke about him maybe surveying some of the headstones in the church cemetery, because I have some questions as far as some of the death dates for some of the family. So it's possible that I may have found a relative.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, how exciting. Well, that's a story that you're going to have to share with us once you begin that surveying those various headstones and gathering additional information on your Neil family. Now, you said, so this is the only descendant of a Neil that you have communicated with, or are there others out there?
He is the only one that I've communicated with, and we still have to confirm whether he is a part of the Neil family. One thing they told me that he grew up in the church all his life, and, you know, one thing about small churches in the South, especially African-American churches, you know, family usually hangs around. And so it's possible. We just have to vet the research and vet the information to see if we're actually connected.
Yeah. But we have a question coming on, and so I'm clicking right now, and I hope I can get the listener. Area code 504, do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, ma'am. Good evening. I'd like to ask the guest, Mr. Joyner, the slaveholder Neil, have you studied the history of that family when they came into that state, and you know, when they acquired the land in that particular county in Georgia? And because sometimes I find that's very helpful to see how they acquired the enslaved blacks over a period of time. And a lot of these families, you know, when you study the slave owners' family background, you know, they came out of Virginia, South Carolina, migrating over to Georgia and Alabama. And I was just curious whether you had started that detailed process yet.
Okay. Well, actually, William Neal's father, older Neil, was born in Warren County, North Carolina. Older Neil and his wife, Sally Furlow Neal, showed up in Georgia, I want to say around the late 1790s to early 1800s. So they were they moved to Georgia pretty early, close to the 1800s. And I have actually seen trees that actually take the Caucasian Neal family all the way back to Ireland. But one thing about looking at other people's trees, you can't always take, you know, you can't take their information verbatim. So it's been a slow process of me just kind of vetting information and making sure that what I'm seeing on other people from other people's research is true or not.
What about local histories written in the county about the families and, you know, who he may have been associated with business-wise, class-wise, and politically in the county? I find, and who they married into. Sometimes you discover things when you look at who they married, who their brother married, so on and so forth.
Okay. I definitely could stand to expand on maybe even researching William Neal's father's wife's family, because you know, that as you said, that may yield some more information. As far as a lot of written information about him, I really don't see or haven't discovered much of anything written on him except for a court case that he was involved in the early I may be off about the date of the court case, but he actually had a court case where he was he murdered another slave owner's slave, and the other slave owner tried to get him tried, but of course, you know, when you murder a slave, slaves aren't considered people. But she was actually trying to argue the fact that he murdered her, but she just really wanted some type of compensation for losing a slave or someone to produce work for her. So that's the only other document besides his actual will and estate papers that I found on him, and he did not. As far as I know, as far as I've read about the court case, he wasn't prosecuted for it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the points that you just brought up and the caller brought up is that once you have identified the slave owner, that you want to begin to do your research on the slave owner. And so that's one of the things that you, it sounds like you have started to do, to just learn more about the slave owner. But nevertheless, you did trace your grandmother's family history back as far as you could, and you do have a paper in a deed, a will, with Zilphy's name on it. And so I just want to thank you so much for sharing with us your journey that began with your oral history from your father. And it took you back as far as you could go to find out information about your Neal connection to William Neal. So thank you so much, Marcellus, for joining us tonight and for sharing with us your story.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Just please remember, your ancestors left footprints. Therefore, you should follow the clues that are presented to you through oral history, family records, and research at the National Archives and beyond. You can continue this discussion on the Research at the National Archives and Beyond and AfroGenius.com Facebook pages. And also remember to listen to the African Roots podcast with Angela Walton Raji on Friday. Thank you so much for joining Research at the National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio, and I look forward to you joining me next Thursday. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett. Good night, everyone. Good night, Marcellus Johnson. Joiner.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.